Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Dirt and Sprague.
In games like this, you find a way to win, and you make sure that you continue moving forward. And our guys are really excited about the fact that they've earned the opportunity to play an extra week.
We feel like we're a complete team, and I think we've showed that the last, 8 or 9 straight weeks.
This is a Pac-12 Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Visit Allen Webb Mitsubishi in the Vancouver Auto Mall or online at allenwebbmitsubishi.com.
Huntley, rolling, and it is caught. Touchdown. Who else?
Pac-12 Championship Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Let's do this. Welcome in. Happy Thursday, everybody. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Beautiful day in Portland. We've got a lot to get to today. It is a turn and burn Thursday edition. Crazy Eyes McGinley's in there yelling at Swigard. What's going on? Is something broken today?
No, they're just trying to fix stuff, but, you know.
McGinley needs to hear this. I don't know if he's still in there or not. Somebody is height shaming in this studio. They're raising the blinds up too. I can't reach the blinds. It defeats the whole purpose. I need a step stool or something. I got sun glaring in here. It's not doing anything, man.
He doesn't even have blinds. Be happy with what you
Yeah,
do.
I'm already bitching about. Hey, where's our blinds in here? I got to be able to see things, that's lights true. On the board, that's crap true. Like that. Look, it's salty swag today. Look out.
Okay. All right. What happened? What's wrong? What are we salty about? It's Thursday. Are you off tomorrow? Or are you here tomorrow?
I will be here in the morning.
Okay.
But because we are preempted with all of the pregame Pac-12 championship game coverage for your Oregon Ducks.
I'm in a great mood today, man. We got a no-show Friday. This is my Friday night.
So I will be able to catch the bus, the team bus, because the Pilots are heading up to play Seattle University Saturday evening. 6:30 pregame over on 910 ESPN Portland. I've been working for 2 months to refinance my condo.
Okay.
My quaint little condo.
Yeah.
With the same lender.
Casa de Swigard.
So we finally got, it took him forever to figure out all of my different income. The salary here, not a problem. But play-by-play, sure. Public address, other sure. Places, they don't, wait, are you seasonal? Are you?
How do we put this entire puzzle together?
How does it all work? I said, I get paid per game. Per game. They play a game. I'm there. I get paid for each game. I'm there on a microphone.
Get it? Games, paycheck. Games,
yes.
Paycheck. Makes sense. Okay.
You have income documents, 1099s, pay stubs, whatever. So that took a while. So over 2 months, it was originally supposed to go yesterday. And then I got contacted because somebody in the myriad of... So there's stuff going on. So there's local person you're working with.
Sure.
Then there's people in Texas. There's people in Arizona. There's people in Michigan.
We're going to need
in
this
different
paperwork from
departments.
You.
And somebody didn't get something signed by a certain day.
Oh, God.
And a weekend is involved. And is that a business day or not a business day? We can't do it today. Can you do it tomorrow morning at the same time?
Oh,
sure.
God.
Somebody forgot to tell the notary to be there this morning while I'm there at 8 a.m. going, what the F? I'm sorry, we need to So now I got to do it at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Can somebody bring Jason Swigard a cocktail, please?
My God.
We have a cocktail hour on the show today, maybe from 2 to 3. We'll have some fun. We'll make some picks. You sound like you could use a Negroni.
Yeah.
Or two. Or eight.
Or five. Just set up a bar over here. Be Isaac your bartender today.
That is so amazing. I remember going through that when I bought my house, of all the different financial things that they needed. And you always felt like you had reached the end of the rabbit hole and there was something new that would pop up of, hey, we need this document. We need this information from you. And you would provide everything. And then you would say, okay, are we good?
Do you need anything else?
Is there anything
else? Any questions?
And then a week later, no. We should be okay. Yeah. And then a week later, can I get your 2014 tax returns, please? It's like, wait a minute. Why does that matter? You know all my information at this point. I remember that being such a pain in the ass problem to deal with. So I don't envy you. So we're not close yet. We got to go back today at 4 o'clock?
4 o'clock.
Okay.
I will podcast the show before I leave. I promise you that. Once it's podcasted, I'm out of here.
Okay, I'm gone.
And then I'll be back tomorrow morning to do whatever I got to do to get the weekend set up. And then I'm catching the bus with the team. So I don't have to drive to Seattle on my own. Because had we had a regular show, I was going to have to, like, right after Friday.
Oh, it would have been a nightmare, yeah.
So there was a potential for road rage.
So now, it would totally have been in the news. Attack somebody's car with a 7-iron from his trunk. He was upset. They wouldn't close his loan.
Somebody's throwing bowling balls out of his SUV. What the hell's going on?
Now, somebody did ask, Swigart, did you put the wrong cover on your TPS reports?
No.
Did you have the right cover on your TPS
report? Cover.
Okay.
Yes.
By the way, people are saying that apparently the radio.com audio is a little crackly. So if you could chime in with that, if that is the case, I figured I might as well add something to the pile for
not
crazy,
my department.
For Crazy Eyes McGinley to deal with. No, I'm not kidding. I am very upset with the other fine radio hosts at this station because I am fairly certain that someone is trying to height shame me. Because I was very excited to get the blinds into this studio.
And clearly, in the morning show, there's only one person that could be.
There is only one.
You and Dusty are within about an inch. Well, inch and a half.
That's true. He might have 2 inches on me. I'll give him a little bit there. But, yeah, there's one person in that show that can raise the blinds all the way up to the top without a string to reach them. And, you know, out of saving myself embarrassment, I don't even try and come in and pull them down.
Well,
because then I'm sure Will would, like, sneak in a window and start filming me as I'm jumping or standing on a chair and I'm going to fall over.
Got to stand on a box.
It's a whole thing, man. I don't have a box. So, all right. People are saying, yes, it does sound a little crackly. So, there you go. Well, happy Thursday, everybody. I'm in a good mood because I don't have to do a full show tomorrow. So this is my Thursday. I'm going to have some fun tonight, watch a little Thursday night football.
It's our Friday.
It is our Friday. Now, do we play Rebecca Black today or not?
No.
What's
the
protocol?
I think today, no, because that's Friday. That's only for Friday. Now, we will do Sprague in the Line today.
Yes, we're going to Sprague in the Line, and we're going to make our NFL picks, and we're going to pick the Pac-12 championship game.
Oh, yeah. 2 o'clock hour is just us helping you make it rain all weekend. Yeah. That's... It's going to be a day.
Dear Lord. I've been thinking about this since yesterday. By the way, everybody is saying it's staticky and crackly. So there you go. Lovely, lovely. We're off to a great start. I apologize for that. Just think of you're like listening to a 1940s Frank Sinatra record.
Yeah.
It's got a little staticky.
Everybody's gathered
you know?
Back when radios were furniture and you gather around the Philco.
Somebody's like, I'm in Pendleton. I have perfect reception.
Awesome.
I totally just lost my train of thought. I don't know what the hell I was going to say.
I don't know. Did somebody warn Anthony? I don't think Anthony's ever been around me when I'm salty.
No. Oh, that's thank you for salty. That just reminded me. So you went on a rant yesterday about numerous things.
Mostly the NBA.
Mostly
Adam
the NBA.
Adam Silver, officiating.
The officiating, all that kind of stuff. And then you started the show again with it today. This needs to become a thing. And I think we need to figure out what is the right company to pitch this segment to. Of like, what is the most old man company you could think of for getting off my lawn? Now, you could go simple with like Scott's Lawn Turf, you know, like just keep your grass green and get off of it and listen to Swigart rant about something.
You could go ADT Home Security or something.
Now, I don't know if they do it, but if Life Alert ever did radio endorsement kind of deals, that would be hilarious too. Swigart's fallen. He can't get up. He's very angry about this. And let him rant about whatever is driving him nuts on that day. It could be weekly. It could be daily. I don't know. But I feel like you're the kind of guy that there's something on a fairly regular basis that just grinds your gears.
Yeah.
And you need to unload it.
Well, there's other days. Well, I will go the
just
opposite other days too.
Just for men's a good one.
I don't have gray.
I know you don't, but it's an old man thing.
Now.
It's an old man thing.
Come at
you know?
Me and telling me I got gray hairs.
Werther's original.
I will come at you like a spider monkey. No, Werther's original. Those are tasty.
Exactly. Yeah. It fits. You like Werther's original.
Yeah.
Hey, we're off to a great start today. Depends. Okay, easy. Easy.
No.
You're going to send him off the deep end, okay?
I could have used that in L.A. last year.
All right. Well, should we set up what we have on the show today?
Sure.
Okay. Anthony Newman is going to be in studio with us at 1 o'clock. Our good buddy Anthony Newman, we love talking Ducks with him. He's going to stop in. He also was coaching in the 6A title game on Saturday.
Yeah, Central Catholic Rams, defensive coordinator.
His Rams were in that game, taking on Lake Oswego. So we'll get his thoughts on that big game. Also, the Pac-12 championship. We'll just talk, just general football, his thoughts on Oregon season, all the things going on around the program right now. So he's going to be in studio with us at 1 o'clock. We do have to carve out a little time to talk about the other conference title games because we really haven't done that at all this week. I don't know how much interest there is in all the other games. You got Clemson as a huge favorite. Ohio State is a huge favorite.
I'm guessing there's one that's going to be quite interesting to everybody.
The Georgia-LSU game everybody's going to have their eyes on. And then I think to a certain extent, depending on what happens tomorrow night, the Big 12 is going to get some eyeballs early in the morning on Saturday. So we'll take a look at all those games. Kyle Bonagura is going to join us coming up at 12:30 of ESPN. And we'll do that. We'll mention all the conference title games. We'll talk about the Pac-12. So we'll do that with Kyle Bonagura, our buddy from ESPN, at 12:30. As Swag mentioned, we have a no-show tomorrow, so we got to jam all of our picks into the final hour. So we're going to pick our NFL Pro Football Challenge at 2, from 2 to 2:30, and then we got to spread the line today because there's no show tomorrow. So we're going to spread the line at 2:30, so we'll get our Get Your Fake sponsors in, 55305. That will come up at 2:30. And then, of course, a whole bunch of conversation around the Pac-12 championship game tomorrow night, including, does anybody like the fact that the game's on Friday at 5 o'clock?
It doesn't bother me as much as others, especially because it's on network TV. Now, if it was on even cable, even FS1 or ESPN, I would say you can do better than that. But it's on network TV. Also, it's holiday time, so 8 p.m., 5 p.m., I think people are more likely to maybe be home than if it was obviously when the weather's better across the country.
Yeah, that's a tough part too. It's amazing because it's all for West Coast fans, but they're getting off. A lot of them get off work at 5 o'clock.
Yeah,
like the closing of business for most people. I know a lot of offices will leave early on Fridays and that kind of stuff. But
I would say your only other option is going to be, I think you would get a 7 p.m. ESPN or FS1 Saturday game, which I think is worse.
Because interesting.
Because if you look at what's prime time, it's the Big Ten goes at like 5 o'clock, and I think the SEC is also, but they might be at 12:30.
SEC's at 12:30. Big 12's early in the morning, and then you have the ACC and the Big Ten basically going on at the same time at 4 and 5 o'clock, I think, respectively.
I would imagine that they would probably try and put the Pac-12 at 7 o'clock on ESPN would be my guess, and I think Saturday's probably worse than a Friday.
Interesting. Well, I'll throw that out when we get to that game. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. Would you rather have the game on the Saturday? Do you like the standalone game on a Friday? We have that as a poll question as well. You can go vote at Turton Sprague and at Tanny the Fan. And then finally, we will debut the new close song, the official new close song today as we finish up the week and send you off into the weekend, for us at least, and then for Friday for everybody else. Let's start, though, today. I have coaching news in the Pac-12. I have four different bits of coaching news.
Oh.
Three of them are positive. One of them a little negative. So we'll start there. Three bits of good news, one bit of bad news. Some Pac-12 coaching notes coming up as we kick off the show. Thank you for being with us on a Thursday. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Hey, welcome back in 12:17. Kyle Bonagura of ESPN will join us bottom of the hour. Talk about all the conference championship games with him. Somebody asked if we're underwater today. We are not underwater, nor are we broadcasting from underneath power lines. I can confirm both of those.
Yes.
There's been
supposed improvements being made in the studio here.
Look at that. McGinley's on it. I trust him.
So McGinley's on it right now.
He knows what he's doing. He'll figure it out. Let's get to the good news and one bit of bad news. Now, it's kind of a choose your adventure of what good news you want to start with, because there's three different programs in the Pac-12 that all have good news. I will start with the most immediate one, and this happened today. Now, again, I think with these kind of things, you got to wait and see how they play out long term. But one of the coaches in the conference that is always getting rumored about as potentially leaving or bolting or mentioned with job openings, especially in the SEC, is Mike Leach. Mike Leach at Washington State. And it just kind of started to circulate even with Arkansas recently, the Arkansas job coming open. Mike Leach's name immediately became one of the candidates. Remember a couple of years ago, the Tennessee job when it was open before they hired Jeremy Pruitt. He flew to Tennessee, and it sounded like, according to reports, he was on the brink of inking a deal to become the next coach of Tennessee. The fans kind of revolted for whatever dumb reason. They didn't want Mike Leach, and he ends up staying at Washington State. But it was, again, going to be one of those off seasons where you kind of wondered what's going on here. Well, it was announced today, and Washington State released a statement that they have extended Mike Leach through the 2024 season. Now, again, this doesn't mean he's there permanently. It doesn't mean he's going to be there all the way through the 2024 season, but it does add to the buyout, the length of the years that he has on it. It does add to the fact that maybe he's just feeling a little established right now, and he can have a down year, be 6-6. That's a good spot to be in as a program. Pat Chun, their athletic director, came out with a statement saying Mike Leach has established and continued a culture of success at Washington State, both academically and athletically, that few have matched. He has returned Wazoo to national prominence as one of the top football coaches in the nation, and we're fortunate to have him leading our program. So becomes a, ultimately, I think, a five-year total deal again, so it's through 2024. But that's, I think that's really good news for Washington State. You know, we talked about it earlier this week, their dilemma of not being able to beat Washington in the Apple Cup, him kind of losing his stuff after the game. I get the concerns and the issues there. That's frustrating as all hell when you can't beat your rival every single year. But I think perspective is always important to have in sports. And with Mike Leach, he's going to a bowl game for the fifth consecutive year at Wazoo, which is something they've never done before. Last year, when he took him to a bowl game for a fourth straight year, that was the first time that had ever happened at Washington State. So, it remains to be seen where this goes in the years to come. But I thought, at least in the short term, good news for Wazoo, they're extending Mike Leach.
Well, yeah, and then you don't have to go all through this offseason and spring about this rumor, that rumor. Yeah. For a place like Washington State, that helps a lot, especially, you know, they've got a scratch and claw for every recruit that they can get. And so that shouldn't be a question then. It's more about, okay, can we convince kids that they'll have the opportunity in Pullman that they could get in maybe some higher profile places?
Yeah, and it sounds like, too, they're up in the salary pool around him, which I think is going to be big. They need to go find another difference-making defensive coordinator. That was their issue there this year. I mean, you look at, outside of the Washington game and the Utah game, the reason they lost most of those is because they couldn't get a stop. I mean, they had the lead. Blowing a 30-point lead takes a collective effort, there's no doubt. But defensively, they just collapsed against UCLA. They had the lead against Arizona State with 2 minutes left. They gave up a game-winning drive. They had the lead against Oregon with a minute left at Autzen, gave up a game-winning drive. Like, they were close.
Probably address special teams, too.
Special teams as well. Yeah, I mean, Mike Leach can control offense. You know the offense is going to be there outside of when you play Washington. If you shore up the defensive side of the ball, Washington State will be back to where they were. But that becomes their big job this offseason. But he signs an extension. Now to another team in the Pac-12 that got head coaching news. This is not official yet. I don't believe I've seen anything, but it's now being reported that Oregon State Athletic Director Scott Barnes is in talks to extend Jonathan Smith and rework his contract. Now, he signed a five-year deal, I believe, when he began right around December of 2017. So they want to extend it, probably give him a little bit more money.
And more importantly... boost the pool for assistants. That will be the most important thing for Jonathan Smith.
So when he was hired, they boosted it, I believe the reporting said, by about $1 million.
The number I heard was 3.3 million was the current pool.
That's what the current pool's at. So they boosted it up there, and that is right. The Scott Barnes is saying that they are trying to boost up as much money as possible. They boosted it, $1 million when Smith was hired originally. The current pool is comparable to what they spend at Washington State, Arizona, and Colorado, close to Utah, Cal, and ASU. So they're not last in the conference.
No, but if they can get that up closer to 4.5 to 5 million, because obviously, that'll go a long way in Corvallis. It's not like Stanford or Cal or UCLA where you're trying to get assistance and figure out how they can, you know, just buy a average house, those sorts of things. That money will go a long way in Corvallis.
Will go a very long way. And right now, you mentioned the number 3.3 million. So they're going to try and increase it. So again, we don't know exactly what that number is going to be behind the scenes.
It should be above 4 if they get it done.
And to put it in perspective, I believe the top two programs, now some of these are tough because they're private institutions, so you're not quite sure exactly what everybody's spending. But last year, Washington's salary pool led the Pac-12 at 5.94 million. Oregon's was at 5.63 million this past season. So you're at 3.3 right now, so it's about $2 million gap. And I'm with you. I think if you get that north of $4 million, That does a tremendous amount to make sure not only you can hold on to assistants, you can hire the guys that you want. If you want to, you know, reward somebody and give them a pay raise, you're going to be able to do it. So I think that is good news. And you know, Oregon State fan, I hear from all the time talking about you got to invest in care in football. You got to invest in care in football. And I totally understand that argument because as a university, you can't talk out of one side of your mouth and then not show the action behind the scenes. And this, to me, just the first move of bumping it up $1 million, which still shows you how far behind they are, because that shows you it was about $2 million when they first bumped it up when they hired him, and that's almost $4 million behind the leaders in the conference. So they bumped it up initially. He showed that he can have success. He won 5 games this year. You bump it up for him again so he can make sure to hire the coaches that he wants. And then it's being reported as well that there's going to be bonuses for bowl games and all that kind of stuff. So there's going to be the ability, if they continue to win, to make even more money. So I think that's great news for Oregon State. Fans want investment. They're showing investment. They're finally finishing Reser, I believe, right? Isn't that happening too?
That's the plan now. They say, I don't know. I know they made an announcement about it. I don't know if they still have fundraising they need to bring in, but hopefully they're close enough to start in on it.
Okay. So that's going on as well. So that's the bit of good news for Oregon State. There is a bit of bad news for Oregon State, though, and I think you still trust Jonathan Smith no matter what happens, but I believe Brian Lindgren is now being rumored as a candidate for the opening at Arizona State. So that's when you're going to have to keep an eye on Arizona State. If you remember at the end of the year, Herm Edwards, even though they're going to a bowl game, he kind of cleaned house a little bit with some of his assistants. Just wasn't working, and that was his
decision.
On the
offensive side.
Offensive side of the ball, and you got a young freshman quarterback that we've seen flashes of, can be really good in Jaden Daniels. So Brian Lindgren is going to be a candidate for the ASU offensive coordinator job. So that's when you got to keep an eye on. But again, it comes back full circle to the ability to pay him more money with the boosted salary pool. If he says, hey, ASU's offering me X, I want to stay here. Yeah. Can you match me Y? You got more money to play with there. So that's the slight bit of bad news for Oregon State. And then the final bit of good news around the conference, Christmas is a couple of weeks away, but there might be an early present for Duck fans because it is being reported. Again, these are all reports, so we'll wait and see how it plays out. Being reported that Marcus Arroyo is one of the finalists for the UNLV head coaching position.
Yeah, the Las Vegas Review-Journal down there in Vegas said he's a candidate for it.
That's somebody, just a little on-air producing. We'll try and get somebody on from Vegas next week. So, the Las Vegas Review-Journal reported on Wednesday that the two main potential candidates that they're hearing about behind the scenes for the Rebels are Oregon offensive coordinator Marcus Arroyo and Utah defensive coordinator Morgan Scali. And so it's interesting because they're going against each other on Friday night. So we'll see. And that is, UNLV is not in a great spot. I think they went winless this past year. I mean, that's a bad program right now. Yeah. But they have had more financial backing, apparently, as of late. And they're going to be playing. I didn't realize this. Dusty told me this before the show. Apparently, they're playing in the Raider Stadium.
Yeah, they're
going
to play in the new stadium.
So you got that going for you. But this is that would be great news for Oregon. You know, I think sometimes Marcus Arroyo has become the scapegoat of all their issues. He is not a great offensive coordinator, don't get me wrong, but I don't like putting all the blame on his shoulders. Just getting a fresh set of eyes to get rid of this. This almost feels like, to me, the Myers-Leonard situation in Portland.
Yeah.
Where it's just like everybody has their mind made up one way or the other, mostly negative, and there's nothing that he can do to change
it. You know, everybody wins in that situation.
Everybody wins because then you're not firing him. And Cristobal's a loyal guy. He doesn't want to fire his assistants. The whole thing last year with Jim Leavitt was different. Leavitt fought for the head coaching position. Yeah. He was ruffling feathers behind the scenes. He booted him out the door, and that's been a huge upgrade for the defense. This is, as you mentioned, it's a win-win because you just say, hey, congratulations on the head coaching job.
And then you can go with other coordinators. Look, you're going to have an opportunity to prosper. And if then, in a few years you get the opportunity to take the next step, we're not going to hold you back, sort of thing. So I know, most people that get to the coordinator position for the most part, especially if they're on the younger side of their career, have aspirations of taking a shot at a head coaching job.
Yeah.
So that's always good in the recruitment. Is like, listen, we're not going to keep you from, personal achievement sort of thing if those opportunities come. So come in place, be a part of the team. I think the most thing, can you fit in? Can you fit in with your culture? That's what it's going to be about. Fitting in with the culture, understanding the way Mario likes to run things. And then, can he sell Mario on whatever scheme, system, how he looks at the roster and, the quarterbacks to there, Tyler Shuck, Millen,
whoever the guy's going to be next
year. The next guy's going to be. with what they have coming back and what is in the recruiting pipeline to put it all together.
Well, and he's got strong ties. Arroyo, that is, the Mountain West Conference. He played at San Jose State. He coached quarterbacks in the conference. He was at Wyoming. He was at San Jose State. So he's been around the conference a lot. He's got a behind-the-scenes look. I will say, last thought on it, I don't want to put the cart way in front of the horse, but what the hell, I'm going to do it anyways. If this does end up happening, and we should know, I would assume, in the next 2 weeks. I mean, this is one. They're going to get through the conference title game. And if he ends up taking the job, maybe he coaches the bowl game and then leaves. I mean, we'll wait and see on that. But UNLV is going to want to make a hire because that signing day is coming up on December 20th.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say on this last thought is, and I brought this up before on Arroyo, everybody wants to point the finger at him. I get it. He's not great. And I would love a fresh start for them offensively. Mario Cristobal has a much stronger hand in the offense than anybody's willing to acknowledge.
I've always thought that he
It's like they're not going to fire, or they're not going to move on from Arroyo and then bring in, you know, the next Mike Leach or Lincoln Riley. That's just not going to happen.
They're not going to go pluck Graham Harrell out of USC.
No, he's going to run his offense. He's going to find a guy that will run his offense.
He wants a guy that has a physical presence, that can believes in a strong running game, and then the creativity will be around how to complement a strong physical running game with whatever passing attack, utilizing if they have tight ends or wide receivers or how they want to do it. That's where the individual creativity will come in for that position. But first and foremost, big offensive line, physical offensive line, control the line of scrimmage with the running game. Then you can build off of that.
Yeah, so four bits of news in the Pac-12. You got Mike Leach signing an extension through 2024. You got Jonathan Smith nearing an extension and also getting a bump up in the salary pool for his assistant coaches. Brian Lindgren has been mentioned as a candidate to take over as the OC at Arizona State. And then Marcus Arroyo, rumored potentially as one of the finalists to be the next head coach at UNLV. It is a busy time of year. Those stories aren't going to go anywhere. I'm sure we'll have a lot more on all of those, including when some of these things are finalized, if they are, next week when we get back after the conference championship weekend. Let's dive into those games, though. It starts tomorrow night, the Pac-12 championship game, and then all day Saturday, Kyle Bonagura, our friend from ESPN, will preview all of them in the Daily Ticker coming up next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Big weekend in college football that starts tomorrow with the Pac-12 championship game. Oregon and Utah. It is conference championship weekend across the country. And then on Sunday, we will find out who is making the college football playoff. And joining us now to talk about all of it is our good friend Kyle Bonagura. We've had him on the show many times. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Bonagura ESPN, reporter for ESPN. Kyle, thanks so much for the time, man. Just looking ahead to this weekend and all the big time matchups, kind of a broad question to start with, but what are you most looking forward to in conference championship weekend?
Yeah, I think there's two games that I'll really have my eye on this weekend, and that starts tomorrow with the Pac-12 title game and then the day after in the Big 12. I think because those are the two games that I think have the most significant implications on who will end up in the playoff. I think if Utah takes care of business and plays well against Oregon, I think the expectation here for sure is that Utah should get in the playoff, regardless of how Oklahoma plays. Mm. Of course, that takes into account assuming that LSU beats Georgia and Georgia falls out of the top four. So that's kind of where I'll have my eyes, starting tomorrow. And I'm really looking forward to a big weekend ahead.
Well, and I saw you tweeting about this when the rankings came out, and I agree with you that it was really big that Utah remained ahead of Oklahoma, because Oklahoma, I thought, actually looked pretty good against Oklahoma State on the road, ranked team, and they got that win, and Utah was just playing Colorado, who's not going to a bowl game this year. I do have, though, just from a Pac-12 angle, I do have a fear about the Big 12 jumping Utah. And I'm curious your thoughts on that, because you mentioned those are the two real big games that you got to keep your eye on this weekend. If we're in the case of Utah beating Oregon, let's say, by a touchdown, and it's kind of a back-and-forth game, and then Oklahoma comes out and wins that game by two touchdowns or more against a higher-ranked team and a one-loss team in the Big 12 championship, where do you put the chances at a Big 12 champ jumping a one-loss Utah conference champ?
Yeah, I think that's certainly on the table, right? And it's Utah's where it's at in the rankings because the committee has been very impressed with how they've looked in their games. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's really no other way to look at it because they don't have a win against a ranked opponent right now. Oklahoma has two wins over ranked opponents, yet the committee still has Utah ahead, right? So that, to me, is a clear indication that they've liked how Utah has looked in these games, just dominating teams all season. Since they lost at USC early in the year, they've won by an average of 29 points a game. The only close game in that stretch was at Washington, a road game against a, you know, it's not a great UW team this year, but, you know, it's still a Chris Peterson coach team and still is one of the better teams in the conference. So, you know, I certainly think it's a valid theory that if Utah doesn't impress and maybe they squeak by, turn the ball over and still win and Oklahoma, you know, really looks impressive against Baylor, who is, you know, the committee's number seven ranked team. I mean, I certainly think it's possible that Oklahoma jumps Utah, but I think for kind of what the reason I kind of just outlined, I do feel pretty strongly that Utah should be in pretty good shape, assuming they play well and if there's a comparable result to what happens in the Big 12 title.
Yeah. We're talking with Kyle Bonagura. Bonagura, ESPN on Twitter. Go give him a follow. College football writer for ESPN.com. You know, and looking at the SEC title game, because you alluded to it, that's the funny part about all this, is if Georgia wins, none of this matters because Georgia's going to make the playoff and nobody believes that LSU will drop out. I'm curious what you think the reaction to that would be nationally, because we've had this before where two SEC teams have made it and Alabama went on to win the championship that year despite not winning their conference. This one would be slightly different because at least LSU made the conference championship game. But what do you think the ripple effect would be if Georgia is to win that game? And then let's say Utah and Oklahoma both look good this weekend and you could have two one-loss Power 5 conference championship teams on the outside looking into the college football playoff.
For me, it just reinforces the idea that there should be an 18 playoff. And I do like the 4-team. I think it certainly is a suitable setup to find the best team in the country. I think it's going to be rare that the best team in the country isn't among the top four and gets a shot. But at the same time, you know, if there's not really access for teams outside of the South and the football hotbeds of the country, it does have a negative effect on football in the rest of the country. And I don't think that's good for the sport as a whole. I think it really downplays the importance of a conference title in places like the Pac-12. And if, you know, that scenario were to play out, the Big 12 as well. There's already been, you know, several examples of both conferences not getting in. The Big Ten's got left out, I believe, twice as well. So, I understand the idea about preserving the importance of the regular season and all of that, and that's fine. Like, it's certainly one way to look at it. But I do think that the 4-team playoff does make it a more regional sport. And as someone who has watched college football my whole life on the West Coast and spends a lot of time with Pac-12 football, I just don't like the ramifications it's had on where football kind of, you know, where West Coast football really stacks up in the hierarchy of the sport as a whole.
Yeah, I agree with you there, especially with the way Utah's looked this year. I mean, they, as you mentioned, all the metrics, the defensive numbers, the way they're blowing people out. I don't know what else you need to do to deserve a spot in the college football playoff outside of what they've done. And looking at that game, too, tomorrow night against Oregon, I'm curious, you mentioned being on the West Coast and watching a lot of Pac-12 football. Just your thoughts on Oregon. It's kind of been a weird year where some people – I mean, look at it, 10-2. They won the North, and they got a chance to win the conference against Utah. And by all metrics, that should be a pretty good season that the fan base is supportive of. But then you just have a lot of segment of people that look at it and you say, man, they really stubbed their toe late, losing to ASU. They didn't look good in the Civil War. They've had moments just offensively where it just hasn't quite clicked. How do you grade Oregon's season this year going into a chance to win the conference title tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be, if you're an Oregon fan and you're not happy with the team, with how the team played this year, man, you have really, really high expectations and maybe unrealistic expectations. I mean, the fact that Oregon is sitting here at 10-2 with one loss in the conference, their only loss out of conference was a tough game against a good team. If that's not good enough, that just doesn't seem like a very fun way to watch the sport, right? If you can't enjoy a 10-2 season with a trip to to play for the conference title, man, that's just a tough way to watch the sport. I mean, there are so many other fan bases around the country that would love to have the type of year that Oregon's having. So I would just say, let's just have more fun with these things, right? Because there's certainly ways to nitpick the way they play offensively at times and those things. But, you know, at the end of the day, 10-2 is 10-2, and you got to – and if you're unhappy with that, that's just tough.
Yeah, those are pretty high expectations. That's a tough bar to meet. We're talking with Kyle Bonagura of ESPN, at Bonagura ESPN on Twitter. Go give him a follow. I will ask him, in the other bombshell we had this weekend in the Pac-12 – or this week, I should say, in the Pac-12 – the Chris Peterson news. I mean, we're coming in, doing the show on Monday, getting all ready to talk about the Civil War and start to preview the Pac-12 championship game. And then, like, boom, right before we go on the air, that news breaks. What's your reaction to Chris Peterson stepping down, and what do you think's next for UW?
I mean, the first reaction was just shocked, right? I mean, I was of a place where I was expecting Chris Peterson to kind of ride out his career there and be there for, you know, another decade. I mean, I guess in hindsight, it's easy to understand wanting to step away for all the reasons he outlined during his press conference on Tuesday. I mean, the burnout for someone with such a demanding job is certainly easy to understand. And I do think that he'll probably take some time away and get back into coaching at some point. I think the operative word in the original release announcing his decision was recharge, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's certainly an indication that he just needed some time to enjoy the, you know, other parts of life and get back to a place where he could start enjoying coaching again. Because what he mentioned on Tuesday was that, you know, he realized a couple months after the Rose Bowl that he didn't enjoy that experience. And as a West Coast guy himself, you dream about going to a Rose Bowl one day and he's there and not able to enjoy it. I think it's easy to understand that methodology with wanting to step away.
Yeah, and how do you think Jimmy Lake's going to do there? I mean, it's a big-time program, and they've had a lot of success over the last couple of years. But I mean, there's always somewhat of a fear when you're promoting somebody who hasn't been a head coach yet. What do you make of the decision to promote Jimmy Lake?
So everything I've heard about Jimmy over the last couple of years has all been very positive. Mm-hmm. It certainly has developed a reputation as one of the top upcoming assistants in college football. And I think that when you do have a program that's in a good spot, like Washington is, it certainly makes sense to transition to a coordinator to kind of keep the status quo and kind of build off what's already been in place. I mean, we've seen within the conference a couple of examples of how it's worked and how maybe it hasn't worked as well, right? Stanford transitioning from Jim Harbaugh to David Shaw has led to one of the, you know, most successful stretches the program has ever seen. Oregon, you know, had some success right away after Chip Kelly left and Helfrich was installed. Obviously, you know, it turned there after a couple of years, but, you know, you did play for a national title there. So there's, you know, I think it makes sense to move in the direction they did as opposed to starting over and kind of just see how it works out.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. You know, a colleague of yours at the ESPN network said, who wants to see Utah in the college football playoff? Nobody wants to see that. I will ask you on that note, where do you give, and this is hypothetical, obviously, because we've been over, Georgia's got to lose and Utah's got to win, and you hope they win convincingly and Oklahoma doesn't just win by 50 points over Baylor. But if Utah is to get in to the college football playoff, where do you put their chances? Likely against Ohio State, maybe LSU, depending on how the weekend goes. But where do you put their chances against the elite team in the country?
I think I would go into any of those possible scenarios for Utah, not expecting them to win, but not being in a place where I would dismiss the possibility out of hand, right? I think the other teams have been more impressive this year. Utah is certainly right there. I think Utah is, you know, is certainly deserving for many reasons, but, you know, I do think they will go in deservedly as the underdog.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have to look too far back to see a similar scenario with Utah. I mean, in 2009, Kyle Whittingham was the head coach. They were playing in the Mountain West at the time, I believe. And there, you know, where you're not able to have access to the same type of talent, they go to the Sugar Bowl as the number 6 ranked team and beat number 4 ranked Alabama and Nick Saban. So, you know, history repeats itself, and so it would be silly to go into a game saying Utah can't compete or can't win, because look, we don't have to look that far back to see that a very similar situation proves that this exact program can beat a program from the SEC. So
yeah.
I'll go in very interested to see what happens. I think it would be a huge opportunity not only for Utah but for the Pac-12 to show that, you know, its teams at the top of the conference can compete at that level. So
yeah.
I hope it happens, just because I'd be interested in that matchup more than the others, just basic, you know, just for being on the West Coast, right?
Right, right. Just getting the conference back in. There's no doubt. Yeah, college football feels like the only sport where we look at it at this point of the year and we act like upsets will never happen. Like, oh, I don't stand a chance. Like, oh, okay. I didn't know the favorites always win in college football. I'll get you out on this one. A big weekend, starting tomorrow night with the Pac-12 championship game. It's all day Saturday, and then we'll find out on Sunday. Just looking at your crystal ball of how you think it's going to play out. Obviously, it depends on the SEC title game and the other ones as well. But who do you think, when we're waking up Sunday morning and turning our TV on, who do you think the four teams are that make the playoff?
So I think they'll be Ohio State at one, LSU two, Clemson three, and I do think that Utah will end up in that four spot.
Okay. There you go. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend, conference championship weekend. All starts tomorrow right here on The Fan with the Pac-12 title game. Kyle Bonagura of ESPN. Love having him on. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bonagura ESPN. I know it's a busy week for you. Enjoy the conference championship weekend, man, and we'll have to catch up again soon.
Absolutely, anytime.
There you go, Kyle. Very optimistic about Utah's chances to make the college football playoff. Let's start to look ahead to some of those games this weekend. And what do you think about the game being played on a Friday night? Do you like that, or would you wish it was on a Saturday, even if they had to play it maybe at 7 p.m., a little Pac-12 after dark on Saturday? We'll start to take a look ahead to conference championship weekend next right here on The Fan. Hey, Anthony Newman will hop in studio with us coming up top of the hour. We'll start to look ahead to that Utah-Oregon game tomorrow. Also, the numbers, I didn't quite realize this, and I saw it circulating on Twitter. Do you realize that Kirk Herbstreit is now, the last six Oregon games he's called have all been losses? So everybody's terrified for tomorrow night. So here was the list, because I was trying to think. I was like, how many? So it starts, they haven't done a ton of Oregon games in the last handful of years. Starts, the first one was the national title against Ohio State.
Okay. That was 2014.
The next year, they played at Michigan State in non-conference and lost with Vernon Adams.
Okay.
Then was the Las Vegas Bowl that he called. Remember, he ripped Royce for not playing. That was right after Taggart left.
That was when Sprague got blocked on his Twitter.
He got blocked by him. So that was number three. Number four was the Stanford game last year.
Okay.
The collapse of up big and blowing
it. Fumble.
And he's called two games this year.
Auburn game.
Arizona State.
And the Arizona State game.
So the last six Oregon games he's called have all been losses for Oregon.
We called two Central Catholic games this year, and it was both of their losses. So Anthony may not want to. He might be feeling good. We're not allowed to do the title game.
Finally, the bad momentum is out of the booth, man. Get those guys out of there.
Yeah, we were there for the Eastside Catholic game and the Jesuit game.
So we'll talk with Anthony about the Pac-12 championship game. You know, looking at the weekend, it is kind of a weird vibe, and it's always hard. I don't want to be too reactionary because I can't remember exactly if we've had this in years past. It's weird to be in a situation where I feel like three of the games don't really matter. Now, it doesn't mean they won't be entertaining.
Yeah.
Like Clemson, if they lose, they're going to be out. They're not losing to Virginia, right? They're not. They're four touchdown favorites. They're not losing that game. So, yes, if they lose, they're not going to go to the playoff.
If fans want to root for an upset anywhere, it's for Bronco Mendenhall
sure,
and the Virginia Cavaliers to pull the biggest giant upset. Yeah.
That would be the biggest upset in the history of college football. I won't listen to any other argument, okay? But so that game, that does nothing for me. That game's going to be 35-0 at the half.
It should be.
Right, and then we'll see if Clemson just wants to skate in the second half. The other weird one, and now the SEC title game, I do think is going to be a good game, and I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
But LSU's in, win or lose. So Georgia's playing to get in. You have that slight angle of it. But LSU, even if they lose, there's not a big ramification for them. There's no way they get bumped out of the playoff.
Yeah, that's all about Georgia either closing the door on anybody else or busting it wide open for everybody else, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, to possibly get in.
Right, and then the same thing exists for the Big Ten championship game. Ohio State's not going to get bounced from the playoff if they lose to Wisconsin, and that's a rematch. We already saw them beat. What was the final of that game, like 31-10?
They housed them.
34-10, whatever the final was. So they've already beat them by a sizable margin in that regard. So it's kind of it's a weird feeling going into the weekend, and I do think tomorrow night will set the tone for all of it. Because if Utah wins and they win convincingly, that could sap a little bit of the interest out of the Big 12 championship game. Because you're of the opinion that Utah and Oklahoma are separated by a decent margin.
Yeah, you heard from Kyle. We heard from Heather Dinich. They think if Utah, as long as it's not some weird, goofy, fluky win, which, given the weather condition, and that's going to be the thing to take into consideration. That's the biggest variable in all of this. How windy, how wet is it? But if Utah is in control of the game,
yeah,
and it might only be a 10-point win.
Just because of the conditions. That doesn't mean they didn't dominate.
But if Utah is moving the football, they're rushing, they're not, you know, they're holding Oregon under control, then yeah, I think then it's all about Georgia, what they do against LSU.
Yeah, well, and then also too, it could come down to if LSU wins that game. The other scenario would be if Utah loses tomorrow night, then all of a sudden all the eggs are in the Big 12 championship basket.
Yeah.
And you wait and see that morning. Now, that game would be played before the SEC title game. I think that would set the weekend off to kind of a wonky, weird start where there's a lot more on the line Saturday. If Utah comes out and they handle business the way a lot of people think they're going to, that's kind of the train, the momentum. They're a touchdown favorite in this game, and the conditions will play into it. But a lot of people love Utah to win this game by a touchdown or more. And if that ends up happening, maybe some of the interest is sapped. But if Oregon pulls the upset, all of a sudden, you could be in for one of those chaos Saturdays, because if Oregon wins, you are then a Baylor win and an LSU win away from Baylor going to the college football playoff.
Yep.
Think about that for a second.
Well, that's certainly, if that happens, that will get Wisconsin's attention too.
It could, yeah.
Because if Wisconsin pulls off an upset of Ohio State,
do you jump them in over
and
Baylor? I don't know.
Baylor and Oklahoma play some 48-47 game where there's no sense of defense whatsoever. The committee loves the Big Ten this year. I would say if you want to talk about really weird potential, LSU houses Georgia. Utah loses to Oregon. Mm-hmm. Baylor and Oklahoma play something where nobody plays defense, and it comes down basically to whoever has the ball last.
Yeah.
And Wisconsin goes in and upsets Ohio State. I would not be shocked if Wisconsin sneaks into the four spot.
Oh, stop it. They'd give it to Alabama. We all know that.
No, they won't. Alabama's out. Alabama's 12. The committee said, no, you're done.
I'm kind of hoping we do get chaos this weekend. We'll see. It'll all start tomorrow night. If Utah wins convincingly, I think you're off to a just normal start, and they're probably going to get that number four spot. But if they win close or lose, then the whole thing is going to be up for some chaos going into the weekend. Let's talk about that Oregon-Utah game. That's where we'll start the next hour. Anthony Newman going to hop in studio with us. We'll also get back into the other conference title games. LSU and Georgia, how do they match up? We have poll questions on all of that as well. And then the idea of, do you like the game on a Friday at 5? So we got a lot to get to in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.